This is Rhema for today.
Too many times we begin to think just my generation. This is what I like. Again, let me say I'm concerned that we have more generational division than we have generational cohesion. I'm concerned that we have become segmented. You know, not just our church in general. But I believe that we're on the verge of tapping into something here, into the power of generational unity.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth Hagin on his teaching, Ages, Stages, and Generations, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth Hagin for today's message.
We're going to continue with our Ages, Stages, and Generations. I got everything in. First of all, let me start off. Remember I talked to you about the different groups, the millennials or Gen Ys, they call some of them, or Nexters. These are people that are born between 81 and 99, and here's their characteristics. They are perceived as wanting to make a difference and knowing that their work has value. They adapt rapidly, crave change and challenge, and create constantly. And they're adept at multitasking. And their expectation of immediacy is driven by technology. And they also have learned to play on teams. They like it better. Then you got the Gen X's, Generation X, 1965 to 80. They've grown up in an era of technology also, with cable television, cell phones, laptops, video games. And they also expect immediacy. But they are driven more with informality and fun while not being impressed with titles and hierarchy. And then you have the baby boomers, and they were born between 46 and 64, and they respond to symbols of recognition such as titles, money, and other status symbols. Peer pressure plays a great deal in their lives. And they probably witnessed the biggest social change and participated in the greatest social change in this country's history in the 60s and 70s with the Civil Rights Movement, the Women's Movement. This generation experienced dramatic shift in educational, economic, and social opportunity. But then the traditionalists, that's those people born between 1900 and 1945, and they're loyal and often have worked for only one employer. Many of them have military backgrounds. They're comfortable with top-down style management. They're motivated by recognition of a job well done. And it's important that this generation not be undervalued as they continue to bring logic and attention to detail and historical knowledge. But as I began this, I talked about that we need to look at the last verse in Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, what this is referring to is a generational reconciliation. It seems that already there is a generational gap taking place, and God is saying here that he wants generational harmony, and he's going to bring generational harmony. Now, a report that just came out this last week or week before last by the Barna Group about attitudes and the usage of the Bible and how they vary in the significance according to age group. Now, Barna defined these different age groups in The Mosaic generation is those 18 to 25. The busters are those from 26 to 44. The boomers are those from 45 to 63. And the elders are 60 and older. Now, here's what they discovered with this poll. And it, for the purpose of this, they specifically studied several age groups for quite a bit. The majority of Americans, 84, see the Bible as sacred, with 90% of the elders and only 67% of the younger generation seeing this. That's less sacred. They have it less sacred. Less accurate, 58% of the elders and 46% of the boomers and 30% of the Mosaics. More universalism, 50% of the Mosaics agreed that the Bible and the Koran and the Book of Mormon all offer the same spiritual truth, my Lord, and compared with 33% of the elders. There is a vast difference. Then you begin to see skepticism of origins. The Mosaics and the busters are more likely to be skeptical about the original manuscript than the boomers and the elders. Less engagement, the younger person is less likely to read the Bible on a regular basis for Bible appetite. In a departure from the other trends of study, 19% of the Mosaics said they would increase their knowledge of the Bible, only while 12% of the boomers, 9% of the elders. So this research is based on five separate studies conducted between 2006 and 2009. So that gives you a little bit of insight into what's going on into the world today. But I want you to realize that Satan wants to divide us. He wants to divide the generations, because if he can divide us and we become at odds with each other, because of whatever group we're in, then the kingdom of God is hampered. There's no benefit to us personally and no benefit to the church universal, God's ecclesia, the called out ones. We need the energy and the idealism of the younger generations, but we also need the wisdom and experience of the older generations. This keeps a balance. Hello? Satan wants the young to despise the old and the old to despise the young, but God wants us to recognize the value of the entire body of Christ, to see the significance and the potential contribution that every member has in the church. Now, when I'm talking to church here, it's a general term meaning this church and then the church universal. But let's narrow it down just to our church, okay? Now, the psalmist had a great passion not just to live for in the comfort zone of his own generation. He wanted to influence the next generation. Listen to what he says in Psalm 71. 17 through 18. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone is to come. Now that's, and then Psalms 145, verse 4 and verse 13. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Here, God is caring about all the generations, not just my generation. Too many times, we begin to think just my generation. This is what I like. Again, let me say I'm concerned that we have more generational division than we have generational cohesion. I'm concerned that we have become segmented. You know, not just our church in general. But I believe that we're on the verge of tapping into something here, into the power of generational unity, when we all become unified. You know, we have specific ministries geared toward the children, but we're one church. We have specific ministries geared toward the youth, but we're one church. We have ministries geared toward the singles, but we're one church. We have ministries that are geared toward the seniors, but we're one church. We have the valet parking for the seniors, but we're one church. Hello? Have other things for them. We have several associates, but one pastor. Hello, come on. You see, we need to begin to look at this thing and see that there's nothing wrong with the children's classes, the youth, the single, the link groups. These smaller entities are of great importance to us. And they provide focused ministry for a group. But ultimately, we all have to be integrated, not isolated. And we must remember that we are all part of the bigger family. Sometimes we get so tunnel-sided that we can only see our little group and want everything for our little group. God doesn't love one group better than another. He loves all of the groups. But now, how are we going to achieve this generational unity? What's it going to take? I think if there is a key word, if there is a key word to gaining generational unity, it has to be attitude. The way we think about one another, our attitude toward one another, the way we react to one another. The old can't despise the young, and the young cannot disrespect the old.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth Hagin's book, How to Fulfill Your Divine Destiny. Next is Lynette Hagin's book entitled Along the Way, Building a Legacy That Changes Lives. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Anchor Moments. All these items are for the special price of only $26. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. Rhema. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Are taking applications now for Rhema Bible Training College for the fall semester. Wow, it's hard to believe that this year is going by.
It's going by so fast.
And so if you're interested, you can just go to rbtc.org/apply, and there's an application right there.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth Hagin with his teaching, Ages, Stages, and Generations. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.